Vinyasa on opening the sutra. The Dharma, incomparably profound and intimately subtle, is rarely encountered even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Not last week, but the week before, I talked a little bit about the koan mu. And I'm going to say a few more words about that today. Moon in a barrel. You never know just when the bottom will fall out. So that's sitting. You never know when the bottom of the barrel will fall out. Joan Halifax Roshi writes that the poet R.H. Blythe said that Zen is poetry. And what does he mean by poetry? In making this comment, he did not use the word poetry in the sense of what we commonly call verse. Instead, he was referring to the essence of Zen, which, like the world of poetry, comes from spontaneous, natural, unfabricated energy of meeting reality directly. Meeting reality directly. This quality of immediacy is in our everyday practice and is also reflected in the so-called literary body that we call koans. In the same light, Roshi John Tarrant says, a koan appeals to you the way a song or a poem might. If it is interesting in some deep way, then it is for you. Now, he's not talking about the koan being entertaining, but resonating in your gut. Formal koan study began in 10th century China. However, over the centuries, the study of koans deteriorated and became formulaic and stilted. It wasn't until the 18th century Japan that the use of koans was revived by Zen master Hakuin. By Hakuin's time, koan use had deteriorated to the point where traditional answers were recorded and sold to students. So I don't know if anybody in Montclair is selling the answers to koans. In the White Plum tradition, which is our tradition, and it goes from Izumi Roshi to Glassman Roshi to Kennedy Roshi, and then here, koans are a vital part of practice in this lineage. And working with koans start with what are called, as I've mentioned before, breakthrough koans. And in our lineage, the traditional breakthrough koan is mu. There are other familiar Zen breakthrough koans. What is your face before your parents were born? And what is the sound of one hand clapping? Sometimes a student will come with a burning question, such as, what happens to us after we die? And the teacher may ask that student, well, who is it that will die? And this question will become the student's breakthrough koan, burning in his hara, in his belly. Who is it that will die? Once the student has passed the initial koan, the student then works with several traditional collections of koans to deepen and clarify their initial realization. The first book, which begins with Mu, has 48 koans and is called The Gateless Gate. The next book, The Blue Cliff Record, has 100 koans. Next, The Book of Equanimity has 100 koans. And the last book, The Transmission of the Light, which details the enlightened experiences of Zen ancestors from Shakyamuni Buddha to Zen Master Dogen has 50 koans. So that's 48, 100, 150. It's a lot of koans. One final note on Hakuin. Hakuin taught in the Rinzai tradition, which put emphasis on awakening as opposed to the Soto tradition, which focused on gradual awakening. Okay, so one focused on the use of koans to sort of spur a sudden awakening. So sudden being the operative word. But there's also the Soto tradition, which focuses on gradual awakening, grounded in just sitting, or what is known as shikantaza. In the White Plum lineage, we incorporate both practices. For this reason, we don't focus on one over the other. The choice of which way to practice is based on the temperament of the student. I mean, that's another disease of the mind, comparing and determining which is better and which is not better. Okay, so we let go of that comparing, and we synthesize both the Rinzai tradition and the Soto tradition. And so I'm just talking about one side, but it doesn't exclude any other side. So having briefly described the background of koan study, I would like to say a few words about Mu, the initial koan assigned to students in our lineage. When the teacher, as I said, discerns that the student is ready to begin koan work. The actual koan is brief, and I've read this many times before, but it reads as follows. A monk once asked Joshu, has a dog Buddha nature or not? And Joshu responded by saying Mu. And Mu is defined as no or nothing. Mumin's poem on this koan reads, the dog, the Buddha nature, the truth is manifested in full. A moment of yes and no. Lost are your body and soul. In a moment of yes or no, we lose our body and soul. Now that's a real hint on how to take up this koan. Does a dog have Buddha nature? Don't get lost in yes or no. The commentary on Mu says, in studying Zen, one must pass the barrier set up by the ancient masters. And what is the barrier of Zen masters? It is just this Mu. It is the barrier of Zen. Those who have passed this barrier will not only see Jashu clearly, but will go hand in hand with all the masters of the past, meeting them face to face. You will see with the same eye that they see with, and hear with the same ear. Regarding this great barrier, Robert Aitken Roshi reminds us that a barrier is a checkpoint at a frontier. It is a place where you check your mind. Check as in examine, and check as in something you would do with your coat. That is, leave it at the door. So the mind that answers Mu with yes or no, does a dog have Buddha nature? That mind must be checked, must be left at the door. A koan, and this is very important also, can also be a point of doubt. In fact, a koan can frequently create doubt in the person working with it. And it's important to note that in Zen, we see doubt not as a problem, as a benefit, as a classic interchange that demonstrates that this occurs between Zen master Jizo and his student Hogen. And so again, I've talked about how poignant reaching that gate of not knowing. That's when we get past yes and no. We give up yes and no, and we admit we don't know. So Jizo asks Hogen, where are you going? And Hogen answers, I am on a pilgrimage. And Jizo asks, what is the purpose of your pilgrimage? And Hogen says, as I've mentioned many times, I don't know. So it's when we reach a point of doubt in our practice, in our understanding, in our point of view, it's at that point that we are ripe for a breakthrough. So how would a student actually work with Mu? A simple suggestion would be to join the koan from a place of doubt, of don't know, and keep it with you day and night. Most students attempt to understand Mu intellectually, right? They attempt to apply everything they know to this koan to come up with an answer. But actually, you have to surrender everything you know to get a glimpse of what Mu is. So we keep it with us day and night, this one word, Mu, and we become completely absorbed in it, giving up all ideas of breaking through, of gaining insight, of finding an answer. We just become Mu. Completely Mu. Breath comes in, Mu. Breath goes out, Mu. Just Mu. And it's really quite simple. It's the mind that makes it complicated. It's the mind that has difficulty simply surrendering to Mu. After sitting with Mu for some time, ask the question, does a dog have Buddha nature? And how will you respond? Will you say yes? Will you say no? Or will you remain silent? Or will you not limit yourself to choices? When words are forgotten, in utter clarity, things appear. So we sit to just allow Mu to appear, and we discover the power of this koan. Thank you.